After all the garbage being pumped into your head by the mainstream media, consider this your mental defrag, The Daniel Natale Show. I was reading a book recently called Babylon's Banksters by Joseph Farrell. In it, I was reminded of how influential America is, or was. Joseph Farrell writes, "There's a little-known aspect of China's booming economy that Western financiers, economists, and media mandarins are loath to discuss. And that is that China's money is created by China and not borrowed from private bankers. In effect, this means that China's money is debt-free. In short, Communist China has followed the precedent established by the American Federal Constitution, where the money creating and issuing power lies with the Congress, that is, with the state." Ellen Hodgson Brown says in her book, Web of Debt, that the Chinese were conscious of Abraham Lincoln and his creation of debt-free currency, namely the greenback, to finance the American Civil War without going into debt to international bankers. What this means is that China, benefiting from the wisdom of the old United States, uses currency within its borders that does not incur debt. So its people are not turned into tax slaves, funding a banking cartel which loans money to its government at interest. As a result, wealth is not siphoned out of the country. This is why China's middle class is expanding, while ours is collapsing. It's amazing to me that many, many countries around the world, like China in terms of money or Vietnam in terms of economic nationalism, are benefiting from the original American system, while we've morphed into something else, something unconstitutional, and something that, while it benefits a handful of kleptocrats, is hurting our people. As for our inheritance, our original ideas, many places on the planet are benefiting from them, while we're not. Kind of like when you see people praising Gandhi for beating the British Empire and kicking them out of India using civil disobedience. Our own textbooks hold this up as a great moral example and talk about how Martin Luther King got the idea of civil disobedience from Gandhi. As for Gandhi himself, he openly admitted that he stole the idea from an American, Henry David Thoreau. So while our own textbooks try to give credit for this idea to foreigners, the foreigners themselves admit that they stole the idea from us. This is all a result, of course, of our collective amnesia as a society, our penchant for forgetting our past, or our educators downplaying our great cultural and ethical achievements. The xenophilia of our elites and their tendency to downplay our own greatness and to lionize all that is foreign has cut us off from our own amazing history. And now, as we drift away from our greatness, others are benefiting from our inheritance, while we're not. It reminds me of some cultural intellectual that I saw on C-SPAN years ago. He said something that stayed with me, though I can't remember his name at this remove of time, his words still echo in my head. America, he said, will always exist. It just may not exist in the United States. A wise warning to those who no longer have the self-confidence to exalt in their own culture and the strength to assert their own people's greatness. Move your meat, lose your seat. Neglect the great lessons of your ancestors, and other people will swoop in and benefit from them, where you're not. If you're looking for another great show to learn from, consider the new American show on the Second Amendment, Two Way for Today, hosted by filmmaker Zoe Warren, as he explores the Second Amendment and explains with expert guests and insightful analysis the continuing central importance of the Second Amendment today. Check it out on thenewamerican.com.